Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. Let's look in Luke. Ha-ha. Okay. It's a good place to go. Ha-ha. Okay. I'm actually going to start from verse 37. What we see here is the law of sowing and reaping. You know, that's one of the things that we really emphasize here is the law of sowing and reaping. You know, our finances are connected to a principle and a spiritual and a physical law that God put in place. Do you realize that creation is built on certain laws? Yes. Right? I'm not talking about the Mosaic law here. I'm talking about laws that have been in effect from the time of creation. Amen. And that are in effect now, like the law of gravity. The law of gravity held everybody down until they discovered the law of lift. The law of lift existed the whole time because the birds have been flying since creation. However, it took man till just over 100 years ago, 130, 140 years ago, to discover the law of lift and build airplanes, and then we can now travel and lift and helicopters and so-called. So there are certain laws in effect, and the law of sowing and reaping is one of the key laws of all of creation, spiritually and physically. Amen. It works in both realms. It works in the realm of the physical, and it works in the realm of the spiritual. That's why it says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. So if you sow judgment, you're going to reap judgment, right? Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. If you sow condemnation, you're going to reap condemnation. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Sow forgiveness, and you will receive. Sow mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Sow mercy, and you shall reap mercy. Amen. So it's the law of sowing and reaping. And obviously, this is talking about the realm of the spirit. These are spiritual laws because you judge in the spirit, you condemn in the spirit, and you also forgive in the spirit. Forgiveness is not something you can do mentally or emotionally or physically. It's something you have to do in your heart, spiritually. You forgive in your heart. Amen. And what a lot of times what people don't realize is once you've forgiven somebody in your heart, sometimes those memories and emotions will come back. Right, the thoughts will come back. Maybe you see the person's picture on someplace. Somebody, the person's name is mentioned, or something happens, or just the thought, the memory comes, and then you kind of feel the emotion stir up again. Well, what you need to do is look, in the name of Jesus, I have already forgiven this person, so I'm going to just take authority over these thoughts and emotions. They're going to try to rise up again. I'm walking in forgiveness. I'm staying in a place of forgiveness in my heart in Jesus' name. See, what happens is sometimes people get confused and the emotions and the thoughts come again and go, oh, man. Oh, well. No, you've already forgiven the person in the spirit. You prayed it, right? You've done it in faith. You made a decision because forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. Love is not a feeling. It's a decision. You decide to forgive. Why? Because God says forgive. So I'm obeying God's word. Amen. Because I love Jesus, I'm going to forgive. And because I love myself, I'm going to forgive. Because if I don't forgive, I'm the one who's going to be in bondage. You know, unforgiveness is like drinking a poison for yourself, but expecting somebody else to die. Right? So make sure that you walk in forgiveness even when the thoughts come. So, you know, you want to operate in these spiritual principles so you can walk in freedom. You can walk in a place of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's not even my message, but I'm just going to throw that one out for free. But it's the foundation. It's the foundation because isn't it interesting that Jesus begins to talk about the spiritual aspect of things, and then later on he talks about the physical. See, we want to always talk about the material provision and blessing, but you've got to also have things right in your heart. You can't be walking in judgment. You can't be walking in unforgiveness, and you can't be walking in guilt and shame. Amen. Then he says, verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure. Somebody say a good measure. Amen. Press down. Somebody say press down. Come on, do it. Press down. Shaken together. Come on, somebody go shaken together. Say running over. Somebody say running over. Overflow. That sounds like an overflow, doesn't it? Somebody say overflow.
Overflow.
Will be put into your bosom. Show me your bosom. That means you're gonna, it's gonna be poured into your lap, into your bosom. Amen. So make a big bosom, not a little one. Make a big one. Amen. It's gonna be poured into you. But notice the result happens when you activate the law, the principle, give, and it will be given back to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at this in the Amplified. It says, give and gifts will be given to you. Who likes receiving gifts? I like that. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah, running over. Will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe used as a bag? Okay, so get me one of those cloth, please. We don't wear robes anymore, do we? Some countries, they still do. You go to Africa, India, a lot of cultures, they're still wearing robes. But you have to understand, back in those days, they had kind of these robes. All right. So what it's meant there, actually, the actual Greek word with bosom. All right, man. Help. Somebody, I got my coat, so I can't really reach back there. Somebody tie it. Just tie it there. Just give me a nice little... Come on, somebody. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. See, Jesus was not wearing jeans and a jacket. I can tell you that right now. So, bosom. Of course, they had inner garments, but then they had this outer garment. Just to let you know, yeah. He wasn't like exposing himself. All right. The bosom of your robe used as a bag. So they would literally go to the marketplace. Hey, put some tomatoes in here, put some potatoes in here. It's like a little shopping cart. You made it so tight. All right. No, I'm just trying to demonstrate something to you, because when you read that in the Amplified, like, what is it talking about? The robe, the bosom formed by your robe used as a bag. That's exactly what the Greek word was, or the terminology, because you got to relate back to the culture of the time, you know. So they basically, how do you, you know, what does that mean today? Your shopping cart's going to be full and running over. Well, you know, oh my God, the grocery prices are so high. It doesn't matter. God's not moved by the prices at Publix or Whole Foods or Amazon. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you think grocery prices are high here? You should go to some other countries. You'll want to come back here. Amen. You think gas prices are high? There was a time I was paying $8 a gallon in Istanbul, Turkey. And then when you're stuck in traffic for an hour, you haven't even moved 10 feet. People literally just turn off their cars and just sit and wait and then turn it back on, move 10 feet, turn it back off, turn it on. I mean, it's pretty crazy, you know, when you leave in some of these countries. I thought we had traffic in Istanbul until I went to Cairo, Egypt. There are no lanes. It's just a big wide road. It could become 3 lanes this way, 4 lanes this way. All of a sudden, it's 1 lane this way, 8 lanes that way. I mean, anything can go. No lights, nothing, nobody. It's a free for all. Someone said, oh, there's so much traffic in Miami. Really? Oh, yeah, no, you have no idea what. Anyways, okay, but so the bosom. The pouch formed by the bosom of your robe used as a bag. That means your shopping cart, your grocery bags, your provision is going to be running over. You're not going to lack. I don't see any lack there. A giver will never lack. Come on, somebody. Say, a giver will never lack. Hallelujah. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen. Same measure. Amplified says, for with the measure you deal out, see, that's the law of sowing, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. So this is the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, that is what you will reap. But you're not going to reap just as much as you have sown. You're going to reap more than what you have sown. So not only do you reap what you have sown, you reap more than what you have sown. Amen. There's always a more. There's always an increase. There's always an overflow. Whatever you measure, you get back a measure that's more than the measure you've measured out, because now this measure is pressed down, shaken together, and running over or overflowing. And with the measure you measure out, it's measured back to you. So this is the law of sowing and reaping. It works in the realm of the spirit, and it works in the realm of the natural. That's why Jesus begins to talk about judgment and forgiveness and mercy, which are heart attitudes. And also, if you want to prosper, how many of you want to prosper in the things of God? Come on, prosper. Some of you are not sure if you want to prosper. That's okay. If you want to live on food stamps, I'm trying to help you prosper. I really want to get you off of food stamps. I really want to get you off of government support. I want to get you into a place of having your own business and prospering and increasing. Come on, somebody. I want to get you into a place where God gives you power. Come on, somebody. God gives you power to create wealth, have kingdom businesses. Come on, somebody. That's why we have Kingdom Business Fellowship here. This Tuesday is going to be awesome with Pastor Randy Hooper, that's going to come and share at Kingdom Business Fellowship. You know, he's been a businessman, very successful in entrepreneurship, running multiple businesses. Then he ran Dr. Rodney's international ministry for many, many years. Now he goes around helping churches and helping ministries to get leadership and structure and vision into place, and does a lot of training in kingdom businesses. So this is going to be a great opportunity. I want to encourage everyone, if you're operating a business or you want to start a business, because I mean, I want to get you off of just, you know, working for somebody, but really have your own business. Amen. And there's a lot of you that God's called to start businesses. And so we want to have God's people come into a place of financial stability, freedom, abundance, where they can also not just make it and get by, but fund the end time harvest, fund the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. So the law of sowing and reaping will work, and you got to get your heart right. You know, somebody said to me, Pastor, I don't want to prosper because what if I really, you know, make a lot of money and backslide? Well, you're just now living in the place of fear. Well, get your heart right and keep your heart right. And obviously that's the danger, because, you know, as more and more money come into people's lives, sometimes they do get off track. So you've got to stay focused. And it's all about the heart. You've got to have the foundation in your heart. You can't be coming out of a place of greed. You can't be coming out of a place of competition. You can't be coming out of a place of, you know, striving. You can't be coming out of a place of a selfish motive. But you got your heart. You got to have a heart of worship, where your heart is 100% surrendered to kingdom purposes. And then you're carrying a true kingdom vision, because this is the year of what? Separation between those who walk by what? Sight, and those who walk by vision. Sight is a function of your eyes. And I'm telling you right now, things are going to get pretty crazy here in America. I'm telling you, this is an election year. Get ready for, I'm telling you right now, they got a lot of plans for all hell to break loose. You ain't seen nothing yet. Come on, somebody. But I'm telling you, you cannot operate by sight. You got to operate by vision. You got to operate, because vision is a function of your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And vision is something that's in your spirit. It's in your heart. And allow the Holy Ghost to burn something into your spirit that you're going to carry that. And that's going to be what you focus on. You're not going to be focused on what you see. You're going to be focused on what God has deposited on the inside of you. And there's going to be a separation. And what happens is, when all the times of shaking come, it separates those who are in faith and those who are in the natural. Sight is a natural function. Vision is a function of your spirit. As the Spirit of God paints a picture in your heart about the things that God has for you, and it gives you the ability to see into the realm of the spirit, and the realm of the, and there's no time in the realm of the spirit. So you can see into the future in the realm of the spirit. You can see a year down the line. You can see 3, 5, 10 years. Hallelujah. And then you can walk by faith into the things that God has ordained for your life. Because he will set a path before you. Amen. He will establish a path before you. Hallelujah. He will set He'll make a way before you where there seems there is no way. See, there seems, by sight there is no way. By sight it seems like there is no way, but there is a way. There is a way. There's always a way. God is the way maker. He always makes a way. Steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So by sight you look in and say, oh my God, there's no way. Yeah, by sight there is no way. But by faith there's always a way. God always makes a way for his people. There's always a way. There's always a way. God will make a way for you. You have to let him show you the way. And then many times there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end is death. Because your sight will deceive you. And here's what's going to happen. When God speaks to you, it's going to be many times completely contrary to circumstances. It'll seem like it's not the right time. In the natural, it's not the right time. But in the spirit, it's always the right time. When God speaks a word, it's always the right time. When God speaks a word, that settles it. God's word settles it. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what other people are saying. When God speaks a word, that settles it. When God speaks a word, that settles it, I said. So you got to have a word. When you have a word, that's all you need. So it doesn't matter what people say. Let them talk. Jesus asked the disciples, whom do people say that I am? Oh, well, you know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the prophets, some say you're a good teacher, you know, some say you get us. I just had to throw that one in. I heard they spent $100 million on those Super Bowl ads, and now they're going to put $1 billion into it. But originally it was funded by the founder of Hobby Lobby and a group of Christian business people, but it's been taken over now by a political action group, and it's all politicized. It's a false gospel. It's not a gospel that saves. They don't want to present a Jesus that saves. They want to present a Jesus that tolerates. So I'm just going to put that one out there for you. You know, in case you've been wondering what's going on, you got to know nothing is as it seems. There's always something else behind the scenes. Anyways, who do people say that I am? Well, you know, they say this, they say that. Well, whom do you say that I am? Well, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Blessed are you because of that. Blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This has not come by sight. This has come by revelation. For my Father in heaven has revealed this unto you. My Father in heaven. So it's by revelation. As you walk by revelation, you got to understand these spiritual principles. You got to keep your heart right. You got to keep your spirit intact. You got to protect your heart. You got to protect your spirit, for out of it flow the issues of life. That's why we preach a balanced message here. I don't just preach material prosperity without the balance, where you got to have the right motives and the right vision, and you truly are building your life on God's word. Otherwise, everything is in vain. It's all in vain. Then just go become part of the mafia. You can make money there as well. Join the mob. You know, forget the Father God. Just go after God, Godfather, you know. Because there's other ways to make money. Because people are making money as well out there in the world. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his own soul? So I want people, God's people, to have prosperity that will be sustained, fruit that will remain. And you've got to have the right foundation, and you've got to understand how these principles and these spiritual and physical and material laws work. And then you can now take these and then use them to your benefit, to your advantage. Because look at what it says, and I like this in the Amplified: with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. Or we can say benefits will be conferred back to you. Benefits will be conferred back to you. It's beneficial to serve God. By the word, the word benefit actually comes from benediction, bene, which is blessing. Any French speakers here? Benediction? Huh? Vous êtes béni? Bene? Good. Goodness. Blessing. You want blessing coming back to you? When you realize that God will bless you to be a blessing. Benefits. There are benefits to serving God. Forget not all of His benefits. Forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you from destruction, who crowns your head with glory and honor. There are benefits to serving God. I want God's people to walk in the full benefit. There's a benefit package that was signed and sealed and delivered by the blood of Jesus at the finished work of the cross. We got the best benefits package, and it's not just for earthly retirement. It's an eternal benefits package. We got the best benefits package. Hallelujah. We got the best benefits package. Glory to God. I want to build your faith up this morning. You're never gonna leave this place heavy. We will not allow it. You're gonna always leave this place with your faith encouraged and supercharged. We're here to build up your faith. We're here to build up your inner man. We're here to build you up on your most holy faith. So God's people can rise up. God's people can rise up. Come on, somebody, the church. It's time for the church to rise up. Forget not all His benefits. Forget not all of His benefits. Remember His goodness. Focus on the goodness of God. It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's the goodness of God. When Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory," God's response was, "I will make my goodness. I'll make my goodness pass before you." He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. Your Father knows how to give good gifts to His children. Your Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to His children. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Look forward to what is going to happen this year. Don't dread. Don't dread. "Oh, I don't know how this year's going to be." This year's going to be great. This year's going to be a year of increase, and double. Double will be the least. Double will be the least. Hallelujah. So be encouraged, church. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Walk in the blessing. Walk in the blessing and be a blessing. Walk in the blessing of God. He's got a great plan. Someone said, "How do you know?" I read the word. He said, "My plans are higher than your plans." He says, "I don't have plans to harm you." He says, "I have plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future."
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.